The Ashton says, is Kumira Mazel Tov. What's the Mazel Tov? Baruch Hashem, Yeshivas Er Chodosh is now completing its sixth year. And Baruch Hashem, we have finally managed to find a permanent home. So that's a big Mazel Tov. I can hear, see two members of the Vine Street Shul here who are our hosts for a very, very long year where we had the schus to imbibe from them. But obviously, one wants to be nov and not baritz, it's not ideal. So Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva is going to be moving into the Manchester Yeshiva building, Be'ez Hashem, once we can turn it around and take it from a churban. So that's a Mazel Tov that we have at the end of a kiyum. We're almost holding Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which means it's time for Ben Hazmanim. And, you know, there's a tendency, you know, obviously, in my position, we have to mechazik the Bochrim before they leave Yeshiva, to prepare them for Ben Hazmanim. But it could also be that the working B'nai Torah, like yourselves, also need to have a little of a hachana for Ben Hazmanim. So what do I mean? Parshas Vayakel, long seder, Parshas Vayakel Pekudei, you know, sometimes when we moan, Vayakel Pekudei, Kasher Sinodoresha, Parshas Chodesh, we might tend to grumble and groan in such a long shlai mikra, it's a long lane, it's long, but if we just go back 1 year, Rabbi say, this is the first laning that actually we were deprived of. This time last year, the first laning we weren't able to be in shul was Vayakel Pekudei, Parshas Achidesh. So to remember, rather than grumbling at such a long laning going on, Baruch Hashem, can I rank on Beis HaMedrash and say, thank you, Rabbi Shem, as McKen, being Beis HaMedrash, to hear the Kitzat Torah, it's a different cook. It's a different way to look at things. Vayakel Moshe is Kol Hadas Nerei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers Klal Yisrael. Vayetzu, and then the pasuk goes on just before Shane, he says Vayetzu kol adas b'nei Yisrael melifnei Moshe. We start off the beginning of the parasha Vayakel Moshe, and Klal Yisrael are in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, and if they're in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, then in the Beis HaMedrash there's a ganze yeshiva, there's a ganze marocha, everybody's here together. And at the end of Shabbos, there's the tzibur of Shabbos, Vayetzu kol adas b'nei Yisrael milifnei Moshe. They go out from before Moshe. But Rebellia, you've just told me they've been in a shia in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's been darshening on Hilchus Shabbos. Why do you have to repeat and tell me? Just say, Vayetzu kol adas b'nei Yisrael. They went out. What is the pshat milifnei Moshe? So Rebellia says a beautiful idea. And he says that when a person goes to a godel and he hears Divrei Hesedus, he hears Divrei Kedusha, the impact of those verta, the impact of hearing those Divrei Hesedus leaves such an impression that when a person comes out, it is noticeable that you have been in proximity of that godel. So therefore, Vayetzu kol adas b'nei Yisrael milifnei Moshe means that the impact of hearing Moshe Rabbeinu's Divrei Chizuk on Shabbos was so impactful that everybody said, wow, they must have come milifnei Moshe. So Rabbi Elia always used to use this as a message to the Bochrim and say, Bochrim, when you're coming out of a Zman, you're walking into a Bein Hazmanim. You have to realize that not everybody who is viewing you may see every single minute you're in Shacharis. They may not see every minute you're inside Seder. But they will be able to tell that you have been within a yeshiva for a Zman, two Zmanim. It should be nicker to the people outside the Beis HaMedrash that you have been with Lifnei Moshe. It should be that when a bocher comes up in Azmanim, he has to understand that he has to be noticeable that you have improved in your Midas Tavis, in your Edom Chaveri, in your attitude to Tefillah, and therefore the Kiddush in Shemayim is Vayetzu Milifnei Moshe. That's sometimes difficult for the working Ben Torah who comes out Ben Hazmanim, and he sees all of a sudden the minyonim after 9 o'clock seem to all of a sudden swell. But all of the minyonim before 9 o'clock seem to have a great uptake. What's going on here? You know, the Bochrim, the Ben Hazmanim, the Daven late, you know. And sometimes we have to maybe look at it a little different. I want to share a beautiful idea from Rabbi Ruchem Olshin, Maybe we'll come back to this rebellion. One of the maybe unspoken features on the Seder table is the charoses. Now, charoses minds its own business. It sits on the table, and it doesn't do very much. And it's one of those things that we all sort of, when it comes to meal, we all sort of dip the matzah in. It's not like the sweet bit, you know, it comes to, when we finish the maror, and it's good, it's very sweet. But the truth is that charoses has a little bit of a stira with inside it. Why? The Gemara in Psochim says as follows. There's a machlekes tanoim why we're supposed to eat charoses. One shita holds, I don't know if it's a mitzvah drabonon, it reminds us of an apple. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Zeichel etit." Rabbi Yochanan says, "Zeichel etit." Says Abaya, "Hilchach sorach lahakvoye." Therefore, you have that combination. Charoses must be made of two of these things. It must have sort of this fruity taste, this tapuach apple, and it's ochlekvoye. Ah, but sorach lismuche. You need to make it of a thick texture, a thick substance, that it should be not a running thing, but it should be. Why zeichelatit? Now let's think about this. The thick substance is zeichelatit. Zeichelatit is something which reminds us of the avdus, of the shibud, of the servitude of what went on in Mitzrayim, the avodas perach. And in some ways, not all, but in some ways, the tremendous persecution that the Yidden suffered in Mitzrayim was worse than the Holocaust. We can never ever downplay Chas v'Chalila, right? What went on and the tremendous suffering, and nobody who doesn't go through, we have no idea. But if we compare some of the aspects of it, the fact that it went on for so long, minimum of 80 years in 10 shibboleths, according to some 210 years, that itself is something which is very difficult for us to process. So Zeichel Etit is something which is, it doesn't bring back happy memories. But, says the Maharal, you have to understand that the Gemara in Seder says that there were also, why do we have a zeichel tapuach? Says the Rashbam, and he brings in Warren Seiter, Shahayu yolde sham b'nehem b'loyetzev. Because women who were zeichel to have children under these difficult circumstances, they had no labor pains. There was no pain in giving birth to children. Why? Shelo yakiru behem mitzrim. Because they did not want to attract any attention of the fact that Klal Yisrael was still growing and at an exponential level within Mitzrayim. Shenema, says the pasuk, tachas hatapuach oyirarticha. So pasuk in Shir Hashirim, where we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled the continuation of Klal Yisrael to develop in such a huge way, this is zeichel tapuach. So that's a very interesting thing. On the one hand, my charoses has to be thick and cement-like to remind me of the tremendous servitude. On the other hand, the tapuach inside it, that sort of taste to it, the sort of crunch to it, the flavouring to it, is also supposed to remind me of this tapuach nisim, of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled Klal Yisrael to go weiter. So what is charoses? Is charoses zeichel etit? Is it zeichel avdus? Or is it zeichel nes of having a proliferation of Klal Yisrael? How do those two things go together? Yosef HaTzadik finds himself in a very, very difficult situation. It's difficult for us to appreciate what happened. The Ramban says in Vayeshev that HaGezeira Emes V'Charitza Sheker, meaning, if you look carefully into the storyline of how Yosef is sold down to Mitzrayim, there's very little that makes logical sense. Yosef HaTzadik was not somebody who was unintelligent. He was a chochem otzim. Zoki, zeshe kol ha-chochma. Yaakovina taught him kima'ul all of his Torah. He learnt and he imbibed from Yeshiva Shein Veiva. So he couldn't have been an idiot. He was a very deep psychological person, he understood. And yet, he made things which were clearly mistakes on his level, that Yosef HaTzadik came to the brothers and he checkered them. And they got annoyed with him. he must have seen that they developed a sinner to him. He wasn't unintelligent. He was able to appreciate that. Yaakov attends him to Shechem. He knew jolly well the brothers were upset with him. And yet, Yosef Hasan, it goes. Says the Ramban, because Vayishlochehu may aim at Chevron. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something to happen, it will happen wherever you try to organize. And sometimes Tzfaket, you'll try to organize one way, and the very vehicle that you're trying to make it stop it will actually be the vehicle that brings you there. Yosef HaTzadik, he gets to Chevron, he comes along there, and ultimately he's sold down to Mitzrayim. He's traveling. And on the way down to Mitzrayim, he's thinking to himself, I've just been dealt with in such an inhumane, a cruel way by my brothers. He's had his Seder's Pasim taken away. He's sold down to a group of Arabs and Yishmaelim. He's on the way down to Mitzrayim. And we know he goes through a tremendous, tremendous nisyonis while he's in Mitzrayim. And the Torah tells us that as he's going down to Mitzrayim, he's taking this Yishmaelim are taking down beautiful smelling spices. And Rashi, which we all know, Rashi tells us, this is very unusual. Why is Yishmaelim carrying that? Usually they were carrying petrol, right? Already from the olden days, Rabbi said the Arabs were busy with oil, right? That's something which hasn't changed, right? That was something imamish from the times of the Yishmaelim. All of a sudden, there's no oil today, there's a shortage, there's nechayis of tshiva light. Says Rashi, this was a specific hashkocha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want Yosef HaTzadik to experience the unpleasant odor, the smell of the neft is going down. Let's put this in context, Rabbi say. Imagine it's 1941. And you have a group of Yidden who are being exported from a town in Poland, and they're crammed into a carriage with hundreds and hundreds of Yidden, old Tavs, the Canium, Noshim there, and they're the basic necessity of life of being deprived, and they travel for a day or two, and all of a sudden, right, and who knows where they're going to, and they know jolly well what's happening here, and it's inhumane conditions, and all of a sudden, as they're going past the rose field, they smell the roses coming in. Do you think for a minute they're going to say, wow, you know, we're in such deprived and inhumane conditions, thank you so much for coming past the rose field? Or they're going to say, it doesn't even blot it down, it's come to question. So what's going on here? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi says, you know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does such a gewaltig thing for Yosef HaTzadik? It is because Yosef was a tzadik. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated that he shouldn't have to have with the load here. He's been taken down to Mitzrayim. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He's been ripped away from his mishpacha. He was a 17-year-old boy here. What's shat in this chazal here? Like, Baruch Hu organized, it should have a pleasant odor. Is that the mahalach over here? That this tiny little bit is going to make that much of a difference to his very, very deplorable conditions? Ruchaim Sholevitz, Ramotcha Pergamansky both come out with the same machshav. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things is beyond our ability to understand. We cannot understand. We are human beings, and we do not have the ability to see from the beginning of time to the end of time to understand why things are happening. But we know one thing. Even if we don't understand things, we do know the Rebbeinu Shem is for complete toiv. HaKadosh Baruch is completely perfect. It is impossible for HaKadosh Baruch to do something which is not fully toiv, because HaKadosh Baruch is a toiv. We can't understand that. HaKadosh Baruch has a cheshbon in why he's doing things. Yosef HaTzadik was so oisker arbut. He was so developed in his Yir Shamayim, in his Midas HaBitochim, he had no suffix in his mind. That even though he was going through the most deprived conditions from his perspective, it was absolutely the right thing. There was no question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that too. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to send him a message. Even when you go through those difficult conditions, I'm here with you. And we say it's a pasuk, we say every Shabbos. Gam ki eilech v'geitz ha-moves. Even when you go through the gates ha-moves, lo ira ra ki atayimodi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send this message, and he'll bring this out for us, that if you're looking for the Ribbono shel Olam, you'll find him. It's not for us to be done on anybody who went through the Holocaust. And Shimon Schwab used to say that Chas v'Shalom, anybody who went through the Holocaust and he did away with his Yiddishkeit, we have absolutely no times on him. After 120, he'll go to Kislev HaKavod, Kiddushin Shomayim. But as Yehuda Yehuda Rubinson used to say, used to give this very powerful shiur, he used to say, the same way that you can ask the question, where was God in the Holocaust, is for somebody who was a man in Romania, you could ask the question, how can you not believe there was a God in the Holocaust? Somebody who went through the most deprived conditions, and yet there were nisim that did happen. The survival of somebody who did come through is incredible. We cannot have tainas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he did. We are limited finite conditions. Our avodah is not to have tainas. Our avodah is to come along and say, where can I see this glimmer of hope, this ray of hope? Where can I see that even though I go through the cauldron of tremendous nisyonos, I can still come out and I can see, hey, the Rebbein Shalom is holding my hand. That was the message that was given to Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik knew Gam Ki Elech B'Gate Salmoves. He knew this is a gate Salmoves. He knew he was going through different nisyonos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to give him that ray of hope. Loi Ira Roki Atoimodi. I want you to understand that whenever you go through, I'm holding your hand. Why you have to go through? You can't know at this point in time. Oh, but you have to know that is the best matzah for you. I'm here just to give you that warm glimmer to help you through, and you'll go through. You only have to read the Klosenberg Rebbe's stories, Zechasat Nivrach, of his incredible story through the camps, and you read how a Yid literally had lost 11 children and his wife, and yet he came out and he made a promise there, I'm going to set up a hospital to help Yid and Anon and Goyim in the world. That's an incredible thing. On the one hand, you can see that many people had tainus and we can't understand their situation. That's not for us to have a bikushin. Our avodah is look at those people who went through the situations and were able to come out with a chizuk and look at the Yad Hashem. That's where we get our chizuk from. Rav Rava Nagor ben Agra, the Vilna Gaon son, has a phenomenal pshat at the end of the bracha of the bracha al tzadikim. He says, Baruch ato Hashem, mishon u'miftach latzadikim. The Rebbein Shalom is a mishon, literally means he's a leaning staff, and he's a miftach, he's a support of the tzaddikim. So you say, well, what does that mean? What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mishon, he's a staff, he's a stick, or miftach, and he's there as a guaranteed support of the tzaddikim? This is what he says. Gam shehu miftach latzadikim haboitchim v'noisim shilosim. Even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers a tzadik and he puts into motion all of the machinery that a Yeshua should come about, koidem yovoi shilosim. But says the Rav Rama Nagron, before the actual Yeshua comes about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into motion little strands that build the Yeshua that a tzadik can see. Ah, the Rebbein Yeshua is on the way. That, says the Roman Agra, is the mishon. Shelo yoivdu bitchainam bo yisporach. That a tzaddik, when he's going through a difficult time, he shouldn't lose track of lo ira roki atayimodi. Kemoi shemotzinu b'mitzrayim, like we find in Mitzrayim, Koidim say so. Before they left Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dropped in little miracles all the way along in order that they should say, hey, hang in there. The Rebbein Shalom is here with you. Why you have to go through? You can't know, but you have to go. But I'm here. I'm giving you a flash of inspiration, a flash of hope. V'chein b'achashverish. Koidem shenis lahamon. We find a very strange story here. Gedulas Mordechai. Mordechai is besakel v'tanisei. He's there, Beis HaMedrash, 22,000 kids learning Torah. And Haman comes along, he's giving instruction, take Mordechai on the horse. What's going on here? Lozmot, just bring the assurity. Zogru from Rago, Koinem Shenisla, Homon, Herol, Ahem, Gedulas Mordechai. The whole tafkid of Gedulas Mordechai was just this, that even when the Yeshua has not yet arrived, but Mordechai, you should know, the Rebbein Shem to Yeshua is often fake, it's on the way. Asher Kora Lefono, Kocha Ye Osalish, Soad Oysum Bevit Chaynam, Koidem, Yotsum Yafeel Elohira. In other words, whenever there's a Tzara, and it's not yet the time for the Yeshua to actually reach its full potential, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends little messages along the way. I'm here. It's on the way. It's going to come in. I know it's difficult for you, but hang in there. Gam Ki Elech Migeit Samamas, Lo Ira Ra Ki Atamidi. Yisro Tzadik, I know it's going to be difficult for you. I'm here. I'm holding your hand. Just hold in there with me. That's, as a Rav Avraham Agro, that's the mishon u'miftach letzadikim. So Rav Rucham Olshe Meudik. Klal Yisrael are going through a difficult shivan in Mitzrayim. Being, as Rav Leizer said beforehand, being a bricky, bringing a bricklayer, is nishin geshmaka avoida for a good Yiddish boy. In the field, getting your hands mamish within the mother. But not just that. Putting it and building up. It's one thing to build up a brick edifice. And to build up a building, if there's going to be some degree of success. But if, by the day comes over, it's disappeared. Not only is that physically heartbreaking, but mentally. Ron Pamels used to tell the story of a Yid who was imprisoned in Siberia, and he was given the job of turning a wheel every single day. And the avoider was, he was told, yeah, there's a mill outside there, and if you turn it enough times, you're going to create the wheat. This went on for many, many years. When he came out, he felt very happy with himself that he'd actually achieved a lot. And he came to the other side of the wall and he saw that it wasn't even attached to anything. Within a few months, the fellow was so depressed that finished him off more than anything. The Mitzrayim were masters, not just in physical torture, but in psychological torture. That's why Chazal say they gave the men the women's job and the women the men's job. What's so hard about the man? If a man has to do heavy bricklaying and now he has to do the washing up in the kitchen, the answer is because for a man he gets no sipik in doing that. He doesn't do that. A woman can find much more sipik in organizing and say that's much more of her role. Not that Chas v'Shalom that she can't be academic at the same time, she has a balance, but she finds a natural sipik in building up a person's home, whereas the husband doesn't get so much. The Mitzrayim were out to psychologically break them as much as physically break them. So Mitzrayim, that's what they wanted to do. But at the same time, while that was happening, Klal Yisrael, despite all of the ways that Mitzrayim tried to stop the development and the growth of Klal Yisrael, everything they tried to do, Kasher Yanu Ken Yifrit, as much as they tried to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu managed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized, that whatever the Mitzrayim had to do, we're one stage ahead. Says the Gemara in Seita B'Shah Shahol Chuzlish of Mayim, when women went to draw water for their children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mezaming lohem dogim ketan b'kadein. Within the barrels of water there was fish swimming around. V'shoyveis mechso mayim or mechso dogim. U'bois v'seisa shtei kedei ha'acha shel chamer shel dogim. What would they do? They'd bring them to their husbands. V'kivishim is abreis. As a result of that, that would enable them, for their families, to be able to come u'beres. When they came to the time, they would go under the tapuach, tachas ha-tapuach eiratichah. And then they would go into the field, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would provide unbelievable supplies. Melachil and Shnei Agunin, Echol Shel Shemen, Echol Shel Dvash. And then we know the Mitzrayim would find his little children, and they'd come along and run after them. The oxen would plow over them. The Chazal say, they sunk underneath. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would look after them. If you were looking to bash, in inverted commas, you could look for it. But if you're looking for that oir, you're looking to see the Rabbein Shem, even Mitaych HaChoyshech, that was there. The Nisim that went on in Kali from the time, even though Yeshua wasn't there, wasn't time for Yeshua, because Baruch Hu decided when Yeshua should be. But along the way, there were little pekelech, there were little messages that kam ki elech migeit samovis lo irara ki ata imodi. Zori Ruchum Olshin, that's the charoisis. That's what you're supposed to take out of charoisis. Charoisis on the one hand is zechelatit. It's supposed to be crunchy, it's supposed to be a thick texture. You're supposed to put your matzah in, you're supposed to tuck your mora in and shake it off and zechelatit. At the same time, mitoich hachoshech, mitoich the shibun with the tapuach. You're supposed to taste that sweetness. That fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave off the pekelech, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly sent us messages of chizuk, that a person should be able to look through and say, whatever a person goes through a situation, a person takes chizuk. You read through Rubashkin's, right? His experiences going through there. And you think somebody was in prison for 8 years, you see the chizuk, the oil that he looked through. It's a mind-boggling to see how a yid go through something serious. I can see the revelation from every single day. That's what we mean. It's mitoich hachoshek to see the light. 5 months is an incredibly long time for a bocha and yeshiva to sit down and learn mitoich the chayshach of Corona. It's true that there's been many, many people who suffered physically, and Nebuchadnezzar are no longer with us and won't be able to stand up at the Seder and say Shechiyonah this year. Leider, leider. But at the same time, we mustn't forget that the mental health impact on young people has yet to be ascertained. And when a bacha walks out of a 5-month winter's man, you have a choice. You can either look after him and say, hey, why didn't you make it to an early minion this morning? Or you can say, wow, I'm so proud of you. 5 months, no chasness, no trips away, no trips abroad, no chizuk programs, no shvatzim. Do you know what that means to a bacha, to be able to sit a ganze 5 months? It's zeh zeh shver. And for a bacha to be able to sit in Beis HaMedrash, it is vayetze milifnei Moshe. That's the avoider that those who are walking into the Beis HaMedrash and seeing the bacha walking in as you're going out, is not to say, hey, you know, look at this bacha, he's coming along, I'm on the way to work, he's on the way to daven. Wow. This bacha has gezetzgelet 5 months. He hasn't had the regular outlets. And yet he's been in the Beis HaMedrash. This is an incredible thing. The Maharal says that when a person gives tzedakah, he's misbarach b'sheish brachas. He gets 6 brachas. But says the Gemara in Bava Basra, if when you give a Mashulah comes to your door, you give him a shein of art, you say a nice idea to him, you know, everything should be okay, and I feel for you, you misbarach with yud aleph brachas, kimat double. So the Maharal says, why? So the Maharal says, incredible vart. He says, when you give an ani, the money you have, either £10, whatever you're capable of giving, how long does that last? How much you gave, it's not going to last long, his next meal, his next, whatever he has to do. Of a mezot ha-guta vart, it lasts le'oilam. It lasts le'oilam. The impact, you speak to people, there's so many stories of people who felt down, and somebody came up and gave a guta vart, just up. That's what a bacha needs. A bacha needs to hear not, why did you get up late this morning? But how incredible you are, that Ashreinu Matev Chalkeinu, from the most difficult Choshech, they saw the Oyer, that we've had the ability to come through, and Baruch Hashem, there's been so much Oyer, we have to look at the Toiv. That's the message of the Charoises. The Charoises is to have the Zeichel Etzitz, of a Mitoich the Choshech, to be able to see the Tapuach. To say, Ribbono Shelem, you are the Mishon, you are the Miftach, even when things have been difficult, but we can see the Oyer, we can see the Toiv, we can see the Gevaldig Yeshus. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be able to see the Yeshua B'Koriv, but at the same time to be able to see those little Mishon and Miftach HaSadikim that we should all give bench and have a kashrut piece. Oh,